Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or your female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident aliens in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
Does God have a big toe? It's the name of a book of stories about stories in the Bible by Rabbi Mark Gelman. One tells a story about life in the early days of the Garden of Eden. He says, I know you wish you could have lived in the Garden of Eden. I know. Great weather, no problems, good food, and water that doesn't taste funny. Believe me when I tell you that the Garden of Eden was no piece of cake, because Adam lived there, and Adam was a list maker. In fact, Adam was the worst list maker of all time. The elephant woke up one morning to find his trunk stuck through a huge leaf on which Adam had written in berry ink, elephant list for today. Number one, dump all the broken branches outside of the garden. Number two, hose down the dirty dishes. And number three, squash some coconuts for lunch. The monkey woke up one morning to find a banana peel tied around its tail on which Adam had written in berry ink. Monkey list for today. Dump the rotten fruit outside the garden, pick bananas for supper, and don't eat the bananas that you pick for supper. Come morning, almost every animal woke up with a list, and all day long, Adam would scurry around checking up on the animals and pestering them to see how they were coming on with their lists. One day, the animals got together, and they said to God, this guy Adam is such a pest. Can't you move us out of here? Or better yet, move him out of here? God said, wait for the Sabbath. There are no lists on the Sabbath. On the morning of the seventh day, Adam woke up bright and early to make his list. He went to get his berry ink pot to write out a list for the elephant, but the ink was dry. No problem, said Adam. I'll just go and pick some more berries for the inkwell. And then when Adam came to the berry patch, though, all the berries were gone. I'll bet this is the work of that monkey, he said. Not to worry, I will scratch out my lists for all the animals on the sand of the beach. So Adam took a stick and he started writing lists in the wet sand, and then a wave came along and erased all the lists. Adam thought this was very strange because the Garden of Eden was near a river and he'd never before seen a wave that big in a river. Adam sat down to rest. It felt good just resting. Then the monkey came by. No lists on the Sabbath, he chirped. The elephant came by and trumpeted, no lists on the Sabbath. And all the animals wished Adam a good day of rest. I have to confess, I am totally a list person. My backpack, my desk, my bedside table, the kitchen counter, even my pockets get filled with these little pieces of paper, lists of things that I need to remember, things I need to remember to do. My wife is also a list person. She carries around this book filled with lists and notes. If it's missing, there is terror and panic in the house. The lists, they help us keep track of everything we need to do. But here's the thing. They're never finished. Sometimes it feels like for everything I cross off the list, three new things get added. We're always juggling work and family, people to visit, sermons to write, meetings, newsletter articles, Sunday school classes. And then, of course, there's soccer or t-ball, school, birthday parties, doctor's appointments, lunches to pack, and work that needs to be done around the house, like paying the bills, mowing the lawn, doing the dishes, the laundry, the vacuuming, and grocery shopping, and of course, somebody needs to walk the dog. Some of you are feeling your own stress levels rising right here as I just make that list. The lists help us keep track of everything, but they're never finished. When we get home at night and one of us asks how the other's day went, the response is often, "It depends." Are we measuring by how much I got done or by how much I didn't? You know this feeling. Sometimes we can feel the anxiousness in the air. This sense that we're always running, running to keep up or running just to stand still. We feel out of balance, always carrying around that nagging feeling that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, there's somewhere else I need to be, something else I should be doing. You know this feeling. Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about what you're supposed to do. Cindy and I wrestled with this experience, and we found the scripture turning us back again and again to one idea. We found ourselves pointed back again and again to Sabbath. It's the fourth commandment. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites find themselves gathered on the edge of the promised land. Moses led them out of slavery in Egypt. They wandered in the desert for 40 years, and now finally they are poised to enter the land that God had promised to Abraham generations ago. Moses is old and nearing death. He will not enter with them. And so he gathers the people for his farewell address. Moses reminds the people of the covenant, of the law, of the way of life. They've been wandering in the desert, dependent on God for their daily bread. But now they will be entering a land of prosperity, a land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses knows that prosperity breeds amnesia. So he reminds them one last time. Moses tells the people again of the commandments, including this one. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day you shall not do any work. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out. The commandment is for everyone, men and women, rich and poor, slaves, even the animals are to rest. The people are commanded to rest because God has set them free. If you've ever had the pleasure of stopping by Jim Tootin's office, you'll find a note on his door. It says, "Lie I'm telling myself today. If I can only get to the weekend, then I'll be okay." Right next to it, there's another little piece of paper that reads, "Lie I'm telling myself today. If I can only get through midterms, then I'll be okay." In fact, the door is plastered with these little papers that read, "Lie I'm telling myself today. If I can only get through grading, or if I can only get through this week of meetings, or if I can only get through finals, then I'll be okay." It always makes me smile. It's this beautiful recognition of this illusion that we have that if we keep running hard, if we keep wearing ourselves out just a little bit more, somewhere out there, we'll find rest. And of course, that mythical time when we will get to rest never comes. It's an illusion that's deeply embedded in our culture. We ascribe value to productivity. We push to be ever more efficient, ever more productive, multitasking to get it all done because there's so much to do. We know our work is important, that it will all fall apart somehow if we stop. It's what makes the God of Israel so disruptive. The commandment to rest may be simultaneously, as Cindy said, the most difficult to keep, and arguably the most urgently needed command for us modern-day Christians. Because we live embedded in this coercive system that worships the gods of productivity. Like the gods of ancient Egypt and their relentless call for more, the slaves must work. More bricks are needed, always more bricks. And so the taskmasters must work too, ensuring that they make their bricks. Even Pharaoh must oversee the project. There is no time for rest for anyone. And yet this Hebrew God commands it. Builds rest into the very fabric of creation. God rests on the seventh day. Even God lets go, not anxious about whether or not this new universe he's created will fall apart. This thought gives me pause when I begin to think that my own work is too important to let rest for a day. Into this relentless world with its ceaseless demands, we are gifted the command to rest. Sabbath is a gift. It's a commandment because we are not good at choosing it, even though we need it. Sabbath invites us into a different way of living. Through Sabbath, God invites us to see ourselves, to see life differently. The discipline of rest, of setting aside our lists for one day each week, invites us to see beyond our own self-importance, or rather, to see beyond the myth that our value is determined by what we do. It allows us to become again human beings. Neighbors, not competitors. This is radically countercultural. To declare to the world that it is enough, that we are enough. And when the world shouts back, but there's still more to do, more to be done, more to be made, more to be earned, we declare again that it is enough. Enough for today. What does it look like? What would it look like to embrace Sabbath in your own life? We have these lists of all the things we should be doing. Usually we're in go mode, feeling the need to be productive, to be checking things off the list. Sometimes our lists push us in the other direction, into avoidance. We find ourselves surfing the internet mindlessly or binge-watching inanities because we're trying to avoid that list of things that we should be doing. But avoidance isn't Sabbath. In some ways, avoidance and accomplishment are just both opposite sides of the same coin. In Sabbath, we set aside our lists, neither accomplishing tasks nor avoiding them. In choosing Sabbath, we are choosing for one day to set aside all of the shoulds. So what might Sabbath look like for us? What might Sabbath look like for you in your own life? Maybe it looks like sitting down to a meal together. And for one day at this meal, putting the list away. Nowhere to be, nothing to get done, not jumping up to do the dishes while others are half finished. Just enjoying your food and your company. Maybe it looks like putting the phone away, leaving it plugged into the wall for the entire day. This might surprise some of the younger among you, but phones used to be attached to the walls. All of them. We left our houses without our phones and survived. So maybe it means leaving our phone plugged into the wall for the whole day. A whole day without emails or checking the messages from work. Maybe it means making a different list. A Sabbath list. A list of all the things you want to do, the book you've been meaning to read, the stream you've been meaning to fish, the friend you've been meaning to catch up with, the game you've been meaning to play with your kids, when you have a little bit more time? I've discovered for me that Sabbath requires intentionality. If I do not intentionally choose Sabbath, if I wait for things to calm down a little bit, then it will never come. Because there's always more to be done. It's hard to do on your own. It was easier in some ways back when the old blue laws were in effect, when all the shops closed down and everybody stopped. It's easier to do together as a society than it is alone when there are meetings and practices and deadlines. But we are not alone. We here are together in this community. We can choose this together. To hold each other up, to encourage each other in choosing Sabbath. We choose Sabbath, not because we've finally gotten everything done, but precisely because we haven't, because we never will. Choosing Sabbath sets us free from the relentless cycle. Choosing Sabbath is choosing to be a part of the resistance. Standing against the powers of this age, standing against the slavery of consumerism and anxiety that says we must do more, produce more. In choosing Sabbath, we declare human value in terms beyond production. For Brueggemann, Sabbath is not simply a pause, but a reimagination of social life. All are equal at rest, finding intrinsic value not in their work, but simply for who they are. In choosing Sabbath, we declare that we are enough. Amen.